it's up to you and me to shine a guiding light and lead the way. United by our cause, we have the power to pursue what we believe. We'll achieve the realization of our dreams.
Hello and welcome to this edition of New Horizons. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Thanks for your company. A couple of weeks ago on the program, we spoke to Graham Innes about a letter he wrote to the editor of the Sydney Morning Herald. He's published and very shortly about to launch a book. He joins us now. Graham, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much, Vaughan. Great to be here.
Why don't you start by telling us a bit about yourself?
Well, I've been involved with Blind Citizens Australia for, I would say, close to 40 years now. I joined as a student, someone who's blind. I was born in and brought up in Sydney and became aware of the advocacy that BCA was providing. Thought that that was important, having been involved with a group of other students to lobby for better provision of student services for people who are blind or vision impaired at what was then Royal Blind Society. And joined the executive, became a vice president for some time, and have continued as a member. More recently, I've been a commissioner at the Human Rights Commission after a lengthy period as a discrimination lawyer and consumer affairs lawyer. In the last year or two, I've been encouraged to write my autobiography.
How did that process get started?
Well, it's funny, Vaughan. My wife, Maureen, has been encouraging me to write my autobiography for a number of years. And I kept saying to her, oh, no, I don't think anyone would be interested. And anyway, I'm a doer. I'm not a writer. And then when I finished my term at the Human Rights Commission in 2014, I had two publishers approach me to ask me if I was going to write my story. And I thought, well, Maureen must be right. There's something in this. So I knuckled down and started to write it, and wrote it most of last year. I mean, amongst other things that I was doing, but it took me around 12 months to write.
So you didn't have to go through the whole process of sending a manuscript off to publishers and all that sort of carry on?
I had to go through the process of putting together a proposal for publishers because they still wanted that to put to their committees. Mm. But they proactively approached me and said, look, would you like to write your story? We'd be interested in considering it. So they didn't say, you know, here's an offer, we'll buy it with you, however good it is. And then I had to put a proposal together, and that meant structuring the book and working out what I wanted to say. I put that to three different publishers and chose one from those after a bit of negotiations, and then started writing the book in earnest. So I did get a small advance to get me started, but you don't make much money as an author, Vaughan. So writing this book is not going to be a major money-making concern for me. It was really more an opportunity to share with people the life that I've had, the joy and pleasure that I've gained out over my 60 years on the planet, some of the challenges that I faced, and weave through that a whole lot of the advocacy with which I've been involved, and the importance of changing attitudes towards people who are blind or vision impaired or people with other disabilities.
What did you think when you started writing the book as a blind person would be your biggest challenges in terms of writing?
I didn't really think about challenges as a blind person in writing. I just thought about challenges as someone who was writing. And I was a bit overwhelmed by the need to write 90,000 words, 100,000 words, until Maureen, who clearly gives me very good advice, said to me, well, it's just like writing 40 speeches. So you've written hundreds of speeches in your life, so just write it that way, break it into chunks. And that's really a way that I've approached lots of issues in my life. If you've got a big challenge, you don't want to let the big challenge overwhelm you, so you chunk it down and you take off the first bite, and then the second bite gets easier and easier, and you move on from there. So as a blind person, I didn't really see any different challenges. I mean, clearly I wrote the book in Braille because Braille is the script that I've worked with all my life. So I sat at my desk in my apartment in Linfield or on some of the lovely warm days out on the balcony, and wrote the book to the sound of birds chirping and nice breezes blowing, and a bit of sunshine on my shoulders as I wrote. That was, I had to find a happy, comfortable place to write, and that was the place that I chose. But again, that's just the challenge as a writer. And there were a couple of stages where I got stuck, and I think every writer, whether it's books or music or poetry, must experience that at some point in time. And my daughter, Rachel, helped me out there because I knew that I needed to sit down and write for 3 or 4 hours, and I was just finding that I wasn't able to do that. And then when I was doing it, what I was writing wasn't very good quality. And she said, oh, that's easy, Dad. I'll just take away your iPhone until you write a chapter. And my incentive to get my iPhone back was enough to get me over the bumps and to keep writing, and that's how I finished the manuscript.
Mm. A lot of blind people that I've heard interviewed about writing their own books have said that one of the challenges that they experienced was to be able to encapsulate what it is to be a blind person for sighted people that that are reading the material. I'm about halfway through your book, and one of the things that has really impressed me is the way that you've done that, and you haven't made too big an issue of it. I haven't seen too many pages of screeds about being a blind person. How did you find that you best dealt with that?
Well, I guess a couple of things that I would say. Firstly, thanks for that, for those comments. I mean, being a person who is blind is not the biggest thing in my life. So being a person is what for me is important, and my blindness is sure part of me, and it has an impact on me, but it's not a... I don't imagine that I would ever write a book where it was the main feature. And in fact, the title of the book, Finding a Way, is a bit of a play on the concept of not being able to see. But also, it's been my approach in life that there will be a way. If there is something that I want to do, I just have to work out where that way is. So it's not just sort of reinforcing the blindness aspect. I guess... I just wrote the book with an awareness that I didn't have one sense, but I had a heightened awareness of the other senses. And I tried to explain to people in the book how I visualized things or became aware of things using those other senses. And a number of people who've read the book have said that they really... appreciated how I described things that I'd heard or touched or interacted with in some way, because that is my life as a blind person. But apart from that, it wasn't the main focus. I mean, there is a chapter on making the decision to get a guide dog, and so that's very much a focus on a blindness-related issue. And there's some advocacy stories which relate to not being able to see. But I think of my life and my book as much more than that.
Now, the book will be available in audio and braille, as I understand it.
It's available in print and as an e-book already, and it's also available in braille. It will be available in audio later in the year. The audio people have chosen to launch it separately to the print book. They find that that's a more effective way to do it, and it will be in audio read by me, which some people are keen to get hold of. But it's currently available in braille, in print, and as an ebook from my website, which is just graeminnes.com, graeminnes.com.
I'm interested in the idea of you reading your own book as audio. Is there any particular reason why you chose to do that?
Well, the producers wanted me to, and I was also keen to do it. I always think that it's good to hear a story in first voice, as it were. And I, when I read books myself, enjoy reading a book where the author has actually read the book. So I thought that would be a good thing to do, and I'm looking forward to doing it. I haven't done it as yet, but I'm looking forward to spending the time sharing my story in an audio way, rather than having to bash it out on the keys of a braille note, which is what I did last year.
Well, I shall certainly look forward to hearing it, as will our listeners. You're having a book launch coming up shortly. Do you want to give us some information about that?
Sure, that's at PwC, PricewaterhouseCoopers, on Wednesday, the 13th of July. It's an evening event, and it's the first of a number of events. I'm organising book events around the country, So this one's in Sydney, and there's several other events in Sydney. They're all on my website at grahaminnis.com. And then I'll be doing events in Melbourne, Newcastle, Canberra, and I'm still planning others. And if people are interested in me coming and talking to an event and making the book available, very happy to hear from you through my website, and I'll see what I can do.
What's in the future for Grahaminnis, do you think?
Well, I've since finished at the Human Rights Commission. I've moved to working as a company director, so I'm on several boards, and I do some consultancy work with various organisations, both government and non-government, and I also do a lot of public presentations and speaking. I've been encouraged to put together a second book, and I'm contemplating that now, turning it round in my mind and working out what it might contain. So lots of things still to do, I think, Vaughan.
Well, thank you very much for joining us on the program.
It's great to be with you, and I encourage people to grab hold of the book, and I'd love to have feedback as to what you think of it.
Grahaminnis AM. Graham's book is called Finding a Way, and it's available in print and ebook. Will soon be available in Braille and audiobook, so look out for that. Graham's available on Facebook and Twitter. Just look for his name on those two sites, and I'm sure you'll find it. Otherwise, look at his website, grahaminnis.com. That's GRAHAMINNES.com, and you'll find all of that information there, as well as links to where you can get the book. We've got a few minutes left in this week's program, so I thought we'd go back to the Roundtable on Information Access for People with a Print Disability. While I was at that conference in May, I spoke to some of the people who were exhibiting. We're going to hear now from Nigel Herring. Now, some of you may remember that a few weeks ago, we featured Nigel Herring, who won the Tammy Axelson Lifetime Achievement Award. Let's find out now what he's doing in his professional life.
Well, we're still providing the same sort of service for adaptive technologies, from closed-circuit TVs to the Braille displays and all the such. We've added some of the more modern type of handheld electronic magnifiers and so forth are the things that we look at. Braille production software, picture Braille for tactile graphics, Takata for Braille music. But the major change in, I guess, my business profile in the last couple of years has been taking on the distributorship for Index. So we're now the master distributors for Australia, New Zealand, South Pacific, the sole importer of Index gear. It's been quite timely. We've just kicked off with the change of model to the version 4, and now we're looking at the version 5 coming in the next couple of months. We've now got, for the first time, a Braille embosser with state-of-the-art connectivity that matches your standard printer, your standard ink printer, laser printer, inkjet, and so forth. So we've got Wi-Fi connectivity, Bluetooth, USB direct, so we can plug a memory stick in and print a file directly from there, and automatically translate to grade 2 within the embosser itself. We don't need any external software, as well as a standard USB connection, Ethernet networking. And I think that's probably about it. I think that covers everything that we can possibly plug in. It is all accessible. It's designed to be a tool for blind people to use, standalone, as well as in conjunction with a computer or your Braille tablet device or note taker and so forth. And each model I've found successively has got better and better. Longer time between requirements of service, and in fact in many occasions, as you possibly appreciate, it'll go from out of the box till you've finished using it and you'll never need to have anything done to it. They're a very well built device, and certainly improved in every generation.
And I think you said in your introduction at the round table this week that you've got something like 73 Perkins Braillers on the shelf waiting service.
I do. I cover both extremes of the subject, so we go from the latest high tech Braille embossing equipment to the 40-year-old mechanical Perkins Brailler, which a day on the bench servicing those is quite relaxing.
Well, I've got a couple I'll send you
down
just to make
add them to the list.
Nigel, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you very much, Paul.
Blind Citizens Australia can be contacted by email, bca@bca.org.au, or by telephone on 1-800-033-660. Of course, your donations are always welcome. Have a look at the BCA website for news and views and information about how to donate to the organisation. If you'd like to provide feedback on New Horizons, you can do so by contacting me on new.horizons@bca.org.au. That's new.horizons@bca.org.au. I'm Vaughan Bennison. Do take care until next week.
We'll achieve the realization of our dreams. Of our dreams.